This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 675 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Trust Design.
Welcome to the Dressage Radio Show, the longest-running dressage podcast in the world. The official podcast of the United States Dressage Association. Here are your English dressage hosts, Reese and Philip.
On today's show, we're celebrating 10 years of podcasting with our original producer and head of the Horse Radio Network, Glenn Hebert.
Congratulations, guys! 10 years! Reese, I looked it up, and you started, your first show was May 31st of 2012. That was your first time hosting, and then Philip came on a month later because you got sick of hanging out with me, and it was June 21st of 2012. So about 3 weeks, you put up with me for 3 weeks and said, I know this guy, Phil. I think he'd be great.
Yeah. We had some trial co-hosts. We did. We had a couple people that came on, and they just weren't the right fit. And so then I was like, we kind of talked about it. And we're like, do you have any male horse friends? I was like, I have one.
I know this guy from Canada.
And I know this Canadian.
He's pretty cold all the time, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah. I remember her describing you, actually.
International, so there you go.
How did you know each other?
We ended up meeting each other at the Young Dressage Horse Trainers Conference, hosted by Scott Hassler at Harmony Dressage.
Hilltop. It was the first host, yeah.
Wow. So we met each other there, actually, and we met... Phil, what year was that? Oh, I don't remember. We had known each other a couple years, and we always seemed to hang out together and sit together, and we had a lot of the same just philosophies in training horses, and we all enjoyed hanging out together, and it was really fun. And that's how we knew each other. And so we had known each other a couple years, and then that's when I was like, I think I actually know somebody that's along the same lines. That was really important to us when we were picking another co-host. Because Glenn and I knew each other from Kentucky and doing a couple events together. And Glenn, I did some recipes with Reese because you found out
that's
I
right.
liked to cook.
That's right. You came on horses in the morning in the early days.
In the early days, yeah. Like super early
and,
days.
And Dressage Radio Show in the early days too. We were just looking back into mm-hmm. the archives of show notes. And so... We were not technically the first hosts of Dressage Radio Show, but Reese was a guest on the second episode ever.
I was?
You were? Do you remember that?
No, I just remember. I have the worst memory. Like, I truly can't remember what happened basically.
That was
yesterday.
In 2009 you did that.
Really?
Yeah.
Dressage Radio Show started in 2009, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I don't remember that.
Chris was hosting then, and you were the second guest. Who was she with? She was with somebody famous, right?
W. McDonald.
Yeah, there we go.
And they had me on. Oh, Lord. well, actually, in 2009, that's when I had Casper, and I was actually on the short list that year with him, and he was competing internationally, had won a couple big CDIs. So I guess I was the up-and-comer. At that point, yeah, that's right. I came on. I remember I was in my mom's office at the old farm with terrible internet. So I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But yeah, it was really true. That happened. So real life is happening right now. My husband's coming in. This is actually what really happens during the show. My husband comes in. Travis has given us a thumbs
up. Hi, Travis.
Happy 10 year. He's waving to the boys right now.
So I met you... Before that, probably around 2008, as we were doing the World Equestrian Games show. And that's when you met Jennifer first, I think, and then mm-hmm. somewhere at a conference or something. And then we met after that because we were doing the WEG show.
That's right.
Yeah. And then
I met Jen at that, Alltech was doing, kind of leading up to the games, they did a bunch of like meet and greets, I guess, or little talks with local professionals. And Jen was in the audience, and I was speaking. I don't remember what I was speaking on, but Jen came up to me afterward and gave me her card and said, you know, we're local. We'd love to meet you. And I was like, okay. And yeah.
She got home. I remember her talking about how dynamic you were and how she really liked you. I remember her to this day talking about that.
I still
that.
Really like her. We are truly friends. I think that's why this show works so well, is like, we actually are truly all friends and we all like working together. And
we get
like
along. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It's true of the shows that have been around forever, but Jamie and, you know, Helena and everybody. I mean, we all are friends. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, you can't do this long if you don't get along with your co-host.
Oh, it's true. And we hang out off air. And I really, Phil is one of my biggest, if not my biggest, confidant. And Phil doesn't tell you how it is. Like, that's what I like about Phil. He'll be like, that P off is terrible. Yes. I'll show him the video. He's like, don't show that video to anyone else.
You thought it was wonderful, but, and Phil's going, oh, that sucked.
I think that's part of being a good friend is
yeah, 100%.
You know, being honest and you know, and your friendship can survive a bit of honesty, because mm-hmm. you know, it comes from a good place. It comes from a supportive place, but you know.
When you say something positive to me, I'm just like, oh, I like it. It's good. Well,
finally, I get something.
That's how my students feel also, you know. So.
Yeah, it's like a real achievement. But no, truly. I mean, Phil and I have traveled all over the world now for looking at horses and doing that, and also with the show. And we hang out, our my husband and Meredith, Phil's wife, we all get along great. We went to your guys' wedding. We had a blast. So it
you
really
even
has
went
been
to a
fun.
Rave with them.
Yeah,
that's right.
I did.
Las Vegas. That's Las Vegas, right?
Las Vegas.
Was that your first rave, Reese?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I've never been to a rave before. I don't think I've actually been to one since, but COVID did happen in there, so that's not really a place you want to go. I would definitely go again with Phil and Meredith. Like, they know the drill.
They know the rave scene, huh?
Yeah, you do. Right. It's like
and you know what? When you meet Phil, now talk about honesty. Here's honesty. When you meet Phil, you would think he was the last guy ever to go to a rave. Never in a million years would you guess
that. No, when you go to a rave with Phil. No, I'm going to disagree on that one.
Do you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I like to have drinks, but the, you know, the rave philosophy is all about it's plur, you know, peace, love, unity, and respect. And I really, you know, it's kind of hippie culture too. You know.
Well, so, yeah, that's what it
is. You.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, that I, you know, if you know, don't cause problems, don't add negativity, just be positive and you know, have a good time.
Yeah, that's totally you, actually. And Meredith, too. Just
but when you
people.
First meet Phil, he just kind of comes across as this straight-laced guy who, you know, stays home every night. That's what comes. I mean,
that's yeah. What... yeah, and again, I've met some listeners, and you know, in real life, I think I'm kind of awkward, and I don't know... what to say or you know, unlike Reese is complete opposite. She's, you know, she's out there, she's welcoming, she's super friendly. You know, Reese has never met a stranger. Like,
that's true.
You'll be best friends with Reese right away. I think I come across as kind of standoffish and maybe a bit grumpy, but that's just I'm self-conscious, right?
When Reese and I walk in a room together, you know we're there. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know. It's true.
Hey, I have some stats for you. You want to hear some stats?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I was going to just talk about Phil being grumpy. Sometimes Phil gets grumpy.
We can get back to that later.
Especially in the winter. He's
hey,
grumpy
by the way, auditors, we have a special treat for you tonight. Hang around. We're going to do a post show for you after.
Oh, God.
So then we'll really get into what rave culture is like for Phil. So we've done 674 of these episodes total. As I said, Reese started in May of 2012, June for Phil. You guys have had 1,200 plus guests.
No, stop it.
We've moved hosting providers for the show, for the old shows like this one, a couple of times. So I don't even have an exact count of the number of downloads because it's changed a few times, but I know it's in the millions. You've done 400 freaking dressage training tips. What the hell are you talking about for 400 dressage training tips?
Well, that's why we asked our guests to come up with something.
We're kind of tipped out. That's why we asked the guests. We're like, what do you want to talk about today?
I remember when you were like at 10 or 20 and you were going, what are we going to talk about? You've done 400. It's like, that's just crazy. So
there's always something to talk about in dressage. And even if it's kind of the same thing, it's a little, you know, we can add a different spin on it or take it from a different perspective. And, yeah. And you know, our guests that help us with the tips, you know, like I said, even if they're the same tip, every trainer has something different that they bring to the table. So that's been the easy thing to figure out.
And we're real life trainers. I mean, we do this job every day. That's what we do. We show, we train horses all day long. So if there are times when, you know, it gets interesting and somebody doesn't answer the phone or something happens and I'm like, what happened to you today? What happened to you today? And we can almost always come up with something unique, which is kind of cool. Cause this is truly our side gig. This is what we do Thursday nights. So, that's why it works really well. Cause at the end of the day, we can hold it. We can hold our own. We can chat for a long time about not much at this point, huh, Phil?
Well, I also took a look at the country breakdown, and this is all of your episodes added up. You have 79% in the United States listen, 6% in Canada, 5% in Australia, 2% in the UK, and there's been 70 other countries that have listened to at least one episode.
Oh,
that's
come on,
me.
Canada. Come on, Canada. You got to get going, Phil.
Well, we only have 10% of the population of the U.S., so...
That's okay. About right.
6%, yeah, that's 6% about right. Okay. Is probably, you know, close to bang on, right?
Okay, I'll give you that.
Well, and actually, you have more of an international audience with this show than we do, let's say, on Horses in the Morning. Wow. We're more in the 85% U.S., so you actually have a bigger audience. And some of the shows are almost all U.S., so... But I would expect that with the dressage show, yeah. Wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I think it's more international. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have expected that too.
Shout out to all the international listeners. Thanks. Keep your friends coming. Yes.
Speaking of thanks, there's some people we have to thank, and we really don't have much of a plan for this show other than we're going to have some listeners come on and talk to us here in a couple of minutes. But I did want to thank Kentucky Performance Products. They've been a sponsor on this show really since the beginning. And, you know, it's interesting. I went to Karen, who you heard from, a couple weeks ago here. Mm-hmm. I went to Karen when the network first started, and it was with Stable Scoop, I think. The first show we did with Helena, it started in 2008. And I went to her and I said, look, I'm doing this crazy thing called podcasting. We didn't even know each other very well then. And we had lunch together. I remember the place we had lunch. And I showed her, look, we don't have many listeners right now, but I think it's going to be a thing someday. It took longer than I thought. and she was just a believer from the beginning. And she started sponsoring. She started sponsoring then the Dressage Show. She's still our biggest sponsor to today with four different shows she sponsors. And she's been sponsoring Horses in the Morning, which we're coming up on 3,000 episodes. She sponsored Horses in the Morning since day one. So she's been the Friday sponsor on Horses in the Morning since we started. So a big shout out to Karen. She's been a believer in podcasting since before podcasting was a thing and nobody even knew how to listen. And, you know, I can honestly say the network, you guys, me, Jamie, everybody else that hosts shows here, all 21 shows now, would not be here if it hadn't been for Karen. Because without her support in the beginning, we wouldn't have made it.
She's the best.
Yeah. So
she's a fantastic. Yeah. She's a fantastic person and a great guest when she comes on. She certainly knows her, you know, nutrition stuff and the products from Kentucky Performance Products are great. So please, you know, help us out by helping out the people who have supported us over the years.
And she's genuine. She's talk about friends. Another interesting thing that's happened over the years that I didn't expect with the Horse Radio Network and your show and all the shows is we become good friends with the sponsors. And, you know, we have a lot of sponsors that have been with us for 5-10 years. And that's unheard of in podcasting. But, you know, Karen's become a good friend. She checked on me, and I've had my health problems over the last couple of years. She's checked on me regularly. You know, so maybe she was just protecting her investment. You think that was it?
I think she was. She was like, what's going on? But I think that's actually something really also important. We do not recommend anything on our show. And so Phil and I were pretty specific about this when we started, was if we recommend a product, we use the product. Number one, we've tested them. And then we use them on our own horses. And I think that's really important to know about us and about the show. Because we're not just doing it. We want to make sure people understand that they're really good products and we believe in them. So
that and that's true across the whole network. We've turned a lot of sponsors down, some that have been very mad at me. But we tried the product and they didn't work for us. And they may work for somebody else, you know, and that's fine. It's just that if they don't work for us, we can't recommend it. So, you know, that's pretty much across the whole network. We feel that way. I'm so proud of you guys, and especially Reese, because I lied to her at the beginning. I said, you only have to do this for 3 months. We just need somebody to fill in. So
you totally lied to me. I got a hook, line, and sinker, but Glenn, I'm really, it's been an honor to be a part of this show. And Phil, I don't speak for you, but I think I can speak for you. It's been an amazing adventure and taken us places that we wouldn't have gone without it. And we look forward to 3 more months.
What I really like is the community that Glenn has built, through cruising and all of that stuff, like you said, with sponsors, you know, it feels like a genuine like a community. And
our auditor group, especially,
that's been the best part, you know, the support from people and then you added the auditor room on Facebook. I know I don't check it out as much as I should, but it's just great to, you know, get emails from our listeners / friends / auditors. That's really special.
Do you want to talk to one of them? Yeah. You want to do that?
We want to talk to one of them. Well, tonight we are so excited because we are still having our party and we have some of our favorite listeners. They've been on the show before. They're great supporters. They help us with content. We just love them. We have Ruth McCormick and Nancy Jones on the show. Ruth, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be here for a 10th anniversary.
Ruth, I can't even remember because we have seen you at a lot of fun events. We get to see you guys
yes,
a lot. I'm not sure where we first met. Do you remember? I have a really bad memory, so.
Oh, I think that, I'm not sure. I know we met at, I don't think we met at the 2010 WEG, but I know that we met in Omaha because Stacy Westfall was with us that day, in fact, with you.
She was my roommate. She was my roommate. We had so much fun that time. Stacy, we stayed in the same room and we had a big time.
Ruth, was the cruise before or after Omaha?
The cruise was after Omaha.
Okay.
The cruise was 2018. I think Omaha was 2017 because I have the shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, we had a great listener meetup there. That was so fun. Stacy Westfall was with us. Bill, we had a great time out in Omaha. That was I think that was an unexpected good time.
Aren't they going back to Omaha soon?
Yeah. Next
they
year.
Are.
Next year, right?
They are. I'm hoping to be there.
Phil and I haven't talked about it, but we'll probably make it. We'll make an appearance. We haven't talked about it, but it'll probably happen. We had a great time, which we didn't think we'd say that about Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
And we apologize to all our Nebraska listeners.
Yeah, sorry,
no,
everybody. We loved it.
Yeah.
And then Nancy, you've been a longtime supporter of the show. We get your emails all the time, and so I think probably between Ruth and Nancy, have you guys listened to all the shows?
All of the Dressage Radio shows.
I haven't for 10 years, but for about 7 years, I think.
I listened to all the episodes before Reese, in fact, and all of your episodes.
Yes, we were just talking about that, before you guys came on. Yes.
I went to reminisce and I was going to scoot through the episodes. I picked some, I have some favorites, but there are so many, you know, that it really was mind boggling when you know what the episode number is on the show, but then you go into the archives and you're like, oh my goodness, all the people they've spoken to and all the great content.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nancy, you know, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you like about the show and maybe your favorite guests or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, I really enjoy the banter between Reese and Phil. They do a good job. I love hearing about their exploits at the beginning of every show. And in terms of favorite episodes, I was thrilled. I would encourage any listener to email Phil and Reese if you have a great story idea. They ran with a story idea I sent to them to cover Mimi Stanley of Prairie Rose Dressage Training Center in Bismarck, North Dakota, when we did the book club on Robert Dover's The Gates to Brilliance and the interview with Robert. I loved hearing about Karen and Oreo, and I love Karen's tips. I think I learned so much about pasture management and turning horses out in pasture and the sugar content varying. That was really eye-opening for me. Wendy Murdoch is a favorite guest, and I have purchased her look-up glasses and keeps me from staring at my horse's ears when I'm riding.
Those are the best. I love that. That's good. I know. I love those.
And then I also really enjoyed, I've only shown through Second Level, but I've had the good fortune to ride Lise and take lessons on FEI horses. So I've done canter pirouettes and tempi changes and Piaf and so forth. And I really enjoyed the series that you did several years ago on Through the Levels, where you had different guests. That was just really exciting to hear the descriptions of what to do at each level. And as I said, even though I've not shown through those levels because I've had riding experience, it meant a great deal to me to hear that instruction. So those were some of my favorites. And I just love the show moves quickly. I look forward. I wait every week for each episode to appear in my podcast list. And it's one of the first things I do is listen to it when it's active. So I really enjoy the show, and you're both great co-hosts, and look forward to many more years.
Aw, that is so nice. Thank you so much.
Don't keep that up. They're going to ask for a raise if you keep that up. Don't do that.
I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. Well, Ruth, you've been with us from the beginning, literally. And so tell us, what are some of your favorite episodes?
Well, it's funny that Nancy mentioned banter, because I know, Glenn, for Horses in the Morning, it's always about the banter when you ask people their absolute favorite stuff. So I think that is great that it's also the dressage show, and the fact that we have fun. And, you know, many people don't think dressage people ever have fun. So I think Reese and Phil put a lie to that. You know, it's funny that Nancy said that, because the Patty Mayer series on the level, Up the Levels, I thought was just fabulous. And it was funny that she was just on talking about when the tests change, you know, doing it or some of it again, and that would be fabulous. And absolutely. The Andrea Ariotti. Now, I don't have kids, but I will tell you, I want to go ride with her. I want to be a little pony clubber riding with all the stuff she did. And I remember when, you know, on a previous interview, all the really engaging stuff for children that she does. And then, you know, she was just on. So I think that's like really, really fabulous. But I like,
Angela,
I like all different
best.
Content.
She is the best. She and Angela is the best. And we bring her on because I agree. Like, if I had kiddos, I'm with my niece. Like, I take the ideas for my niece, but like, that's why we bring her on, because it's so important that the kids get the right start. And she is the perfect person for it. So had to do
I think she's just kind of, she's positive and she's fun. And you know, she you know, last episode we had her on, she was talking about adventures with your horse to go on. Like, who wouldn't like that, right?
Right. I know. Exactly. It's so fun.
Well, even like, and all how it's all learning, but it's disguised as, you know, is fun. And it's, you know, not like, it's not like today we're going to learn this. We're going to, you know, paint our horse or whatever. I mean, it sounded like a lot, you know, but you
fun,
couldn't help but love it.
Fun.
The other thing is, you guys, it was so funny, the last book club for the balancing act, when Reese, I would swear that you said you were still reading the book the day that you did the show. So that really cracked me up because I'm always struggling. I'm always struggling to like finish the book because I don't start right away, and then all of a sudden I'm getting behind. They're going to talk about it before I finish it.
I had like five more pages right before we started. So I was like, leaf through them, but I actually went back and read it because I had gotten COVID. So I was really planning on reading it. And then I really didn't feel like doing anything. So that just happens sometimes. But that was actually a really, really good book and worth, like, it was part of it. I couldn't really concentrate, but I went back because that was such a good book.
I reread it too, you know, mm-hmm. Finishing that book and then going back to reread it, you refresh because again, I was like, oh, you know, first few chapters, I'm just like, oh, you know, what is this, you know, is the entire book going to be like this really negative about the sport in which I compete at? Right. And he's, you know, and, mm-hmm. but it was good points. It's just you got to finish it and then go back and start it again. And then you kind of look at it in a little bit of a different light. Or that's the way I felt about that book. So anyway, so I reread
those
it.
Those have been fun. The book club. That came to me one morning. Honestly, I was watching the Today Show and I was like, they have a book club. Like, I was like, I literally texted Phil like right then. I'm like, I think we should do a book club. I think it's been awesome just for us too, because it brings new life into what we're doing and what's out there. And we really do talk with Martha at Horse and Rider Books, and we have to add her in. She's been awesome in the whole show.
Yeah, Trafalgar Square
Martha
Books.
They
do
terrific.
A fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, really. And she jumped on it with us, and she provides us, Phil and I get the books, which have been great for our students because we have quite a nice library. And we will, everybody has asked there. I actually did a list of all the books, and we will make sure, Glenn, we'll get that up somewhere.
Someday.
I think it's actually in Glenn's email at this point, but we will make sure we get that up because everyone's been asking all of the book clubs that we've done. That's been a really cool addition to, and I think also helped the community of the show. So I think that's a great point.
Well, guys, we thank you for listening for all this time and being and supporting Reese and Philip like you have over 10 years. And by the way,
ideas are great.
You're in rarefied air. I tried looking it up here, and it appears that you're in the top, what would probably be 0.25% of podcasters that ever make it to 10 years. So, you know, there's 99.99% that don't. So congratulations on that. And also podcast listeners that listen to a show for 10 years. So
10 years, yeah. We have to thank you for listening
to
that.
That's right. You put up with them. Okay, now they're not here. So Ruth, do you ever get mad at them?
Mad at them? No, but I'm always telling them things that they don't seem to hear through the podcast.
And email us.
I listen in the car. I have a long trip to the barn, and I have these notes, and I actually don't always send them, but I always have something to say. Sometimes I send them. Sometimes I don't.
Those are the comments we get on the morning show, too. It's the things we didn't say. It's like, why didn't you bring that up? You know, that's what people get mad at us about.
Well, we appreciate it. We love it. We love emails. Sorry.
You brought one thing up, though. The whole discussion of keeping a horse in retirement and kind of how you always had plans for kind of their future. And I have a 25-year-old mare who's colicked and had PRP for her hocks and stifles all in 1 week. And it brings home how hard it is to keep your, I mean, she's still going. She made it through, but it's kind of like, I keep thinking that discussion that you and Phil had about that. So anyway, it's been a great source of learning, you know, both, a lot more about horses and training and equipment and, but still fun and great people in the sport, like all the para people and that Kentucky youth volunteer winner that you had. I don't remember her name.
Yes.
She was fabulous. So I love the way you guys bring it all together in a fun and educational way.
Well, thank you guys. And we can't do it without our listeners. And we thank you all, and keep sharing us and telling your friends. That's what keeps us going. And we truly enjoy it. And we love hearing from you guys, because that's actually why we do it, which is really
well,
fun.
We are delighted to be a part of it today. And congratulations on your 10th anniversary. I'm just so thrilled to have the opportunity to celebrate with you.
Well, that was fun. It's always good to have the listeners on the show, especially ones that have listened to every episode since he started. So we also want to thank Total Saddle Fit and Trust Designs. They've been with us. Well, we figured it out. Total Saddle Fit started in 2014 or 15?
I think 15. Yeah. 15. Yeah, 2015. That's 7 years of having a wonderful sponsor and a great guy is Justin. We can shoot him emails anytime. And it morphed from Total Saddle Fit into Trust Design, and all the products are great, and you know, and we use them, and we've tried them out. Just like we said, we really thank, you know, all of our sponsors that have come on the show and helped us to create hopefully a fun and interesting dressage podcast. I don't think Glenn really thought that that's what this, you know, this could be.
No, kitchen, right? Like, I'm a horse husband. Like, no, we don't think dressage is going to be interesting in any way.
Podcast, it'll be, you know, really dry and boring. And...
But that's what I was going to bring up. We did change it in the early years. You guys, it was much more of an interview show, because that's what it was before you started. And mm-hmm. then, you know, at some point, I think it was about a year in, when you guys were about a year in, we had a discussion about changing it to more of a training show, because that's really where mm-hmm. your strong points were, right?
Yes.
And I think really that's when the show took off with you guys hosting. I really do think that's when it found its place, when it's found its rhythm. And that's when you guys became most comfortable.
I think so too. I think that was actually really helpful for us, because that's where we were, especially in the early days, we were actually more comfortable talking back and forth and sort of doing our own program. I would say now, you know, we've had the pleasure of interviewing, what, 1,200 people or yeah. something. There's a lot of, you know, reoccurring people, but now it's not such an anxiety ridden thing. In the beginning, it was really nerve-wracking, especially when we got big names on. Oh,
there's still one name I can't bring on this show, because Reese will just die of a heart attack. So
I will die of a heart attack if Charlotte Desjardins comes on the show. I don't know if I could do it. Like, I'd be so nervous. And she's very nice. Like, she seems lovely. I think I'd just die. But we've had some really, really amazing guests. And actually, the Olympians and the really big namers are usually pretty fun to interview, because they're so used to interviewing that right. they make it really easy.
Yeah, they've done it before, you know, so mm-hmm. they know how to mm-hmm. talk.
Yeah, they know how to talk, and they know how it runs, and it's really fun and easy with them. And you can usually get them, like, ask them. Phil's really good. Phil's actually kind of bad cop. And I'm like, I won't ever ask the sort of really, like, Phil will ask the hard questions.
I try to come up with interesting questions that I actually want to know, you know, and of course our show is recorded. So, you know, sometimes there's an edit that has to go in, and, you know, maybe I ask the wrong questions, or I ask a question in the wrong way and whatever. But, we like to have interesting content in which people, you know, people want to listen to. But back to where we transitioned, you know, into doing more tips and things like that. I mean, I never thought that people would be interested in what, you know, what I have to say about a topic. So that's, you know, that's where, you know, at first it was difficult. It was like, well, I'm not a world champion. I know a little bit about dressage. I take a bunch of lessons, but all of my coaches are like Olympians, and those are the people, like, I always thought, like, those are the people who we need to interview. But, you know, once I got comfortable, once we have a topic and I get comfortable in talking about it, I realized that, yeah, I do have a lot of things to say, and maybe they're not all, you know, not everybody would agree with what I'm saying, but this is, you know, I'm just trying to give my perspective on how, you know, how I would personally think about horse training and how I would personally train a horse. And right or wrong. I mean, I know I've learned a lot over the years, and you know, through book club and our guests and whatever, I'm constantly learning. That's what I love about the sport, is that you never stop learning, and for sure, you know, for myself, this show has actually helped me to learn, and just in talking through topics, I'm like, oh, you know, when we finish recording a show on a tip or something like that, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, whether somebody else says something or whether I say something, that just sort of triggers a thought in my brain, and then I go out riding the next day and like, oh, you know, I should try that. And so it's not just our listeners who we're educating, it's ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm. When I speak at podcasting conferences, one of the first things I put on the screen is they come for the content, but they stay for the host. So listeners will search dressage and come, but they're only hanging around if they like you guys. And you know, Ruth said that, right? They both said that. They both said they like hearing the banter. And it's one of the complaints we've gotten on the morning show is we have too many guests and they want just more of us, which is counterintuitive to what we think as hosts. You know, yeah, we're like, yeah. Why are they listening to us just talk, right? But that's what they like, because they're staying because of you guys. They're not hanging around. Mm-hmm. If you don't like, you try a podcast, you don't like the host, you're not hanging around. I don't care how much the content is relevant for you. And that's true. And that's why, Phil, that's why they care about what you say, right? Mm-hmm. And it does take, we all have a little bit of an, I'm a horse husband. I've done more podcast episodes than anybody in the horse world. And I'm a freaking horse husband that's never trained a horse in his life. So, but yet, with the probably 6,000 guests that I've interviewed, I probably know more about the horse world than most anybody. Because we've talked about it all, right? We've covered it all. So, you know, I find with our shows especially, that the more interesting hosts are the ones who are not the super high-level professionals. They're the ones, and you guys are Grand Prix riders, though, so, I mean, there is that. I mean, it's not like you're not. But you're not necessarily Olympians, and that's okay, because you're relatable. You know, it's very hard to relate to an Olympian, especially when you get into show jumping and things where they ride 30 horses a day that are all worth $1 million plus. It's hard to relate to that, but they can relate to what you guys say. So I think that's why it works.
Yeah. Well, we try. I mean, we work really hard and we talk about and really try to create content and things that we think are interesting and that will fit with most of the audience, or someone would say, oh yeah, you know, I could see that happening. Or I think that's really important to us, is we don't just talk about Grand Prix all the time, because that's not, it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to talk about all those things, but it's not as relatable. And we do try to really pay attention to that with content.
What has some?
I think just in our day-to-day lives, we're not, you know, our bread and butter is the adult amateur. So we know those people and the, you know, not so fancy horses, and we train those too. And so when we're looking for content or, you know, things that we think will be interesting, is we try to highlight, you know, we have our amateur spotlight, we have our, you know, because that's where we are. That's where we're all at, I think, is just, you know, in the trenches, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
we have a few really nice horses and some great high level clients, but that's not the reality of our day or the reality of our sport.
So right. I think that's because 99% are still in that adult amateur class. You know, yeah.
Well, and I just, my one little pet peeve is adult amateur. That's such a wide term. Mm. You know, I have some adult amateurs that could be top level professionals. They just don't make their living in horses for various reasons. They could be.
Alice Tarjan is an adult amateur. And
she just rode at Rotterdam.
And they're both riding in Aachen this week. So again, yeah.
That's right.
It's a wide, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think of that as a negative term at all, because again, I have wide range of what that means. And so It really truly just means your living doesn't come off of horses. But I have some.
No, it just means you spend all your money on them. That's what it means.
Yeah, you spend all your money on them. But, you know, they work very hard. And so that is actually a little bit of a pet peeve of mine in the sense of, I mean, we're all out here and we can all relate. You know, we've all had a horse get hurt right before a competition you've worked for really hard, or you've all had that news that, you know, or you, some days it goes well and it's a good day and you can celebrate that day, you know. So I hope that we bring that to the show and that we really are doing that on a daily basis. We're training horses every day in whatever weather it may be. I get to go south, which is so fun. And I always feel bad for Grumpy Phil in the winter.
Especially, you know, the last couple of years.
Yeah. So
Corona Grumpy Winter Phil.
He was really grumpy.
There's been some time. But
I also want to thank, can I thank somebody else? Paul. Paul works for Flintstone Media, and Flintstone Media does a production on a lot of our shows, but Paul's been a trooper with you guys.
He's been so good.
And he was on the show recently, Phil said. So
last episode. Yeah, we brought him on. We made him come on.
We made him. He didn't have a choice. We ganged up on him.
And Paul's great. He's from England. Didn't know a damn thing about dressage before he started, or horses for that matter. So, but he says he's learned a lot about a topic he never wanted to know anything about. So Paul's been a trooper. He does all the editing, and everybody over at Flintstone Media is great for us. They help with all of our shows, including Horses in the Morning. So I don't want to ask you guys, I have a couple of questions, and I don't want to ask you what your favorite episodes are, because that drives me crazy when people ask that of me, because I have 100 of them, right?
Yeah.
And it's just hard to pick one. So I want to ask, start with Reese, what surprised you the most doing this show?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I came on for 3 months. That was my initial thought, was I'm coming on to help Glenn. You know, he needed some help. He needs to find a host. Little did I know I would be here 10 years later. But it truly, not to sound silly, but it really is the community that we've created. And we kind of continue to try to find ways to create a community with the show. That has been really cool and something I didn't see coming. And I was thinking about it driving home today from a meeting, and like, you know, the places that we've gone again, World Equestrian Games, we covered, in Tryon. I'll never forget when, we had just come in, to the press tent. You were checking us in, Glenn, you were showing us where, and a fight broke out at the, endurance. I have never seen a group of people run so fast. It was unbelievable. I just remember standing there like,
the media area just cleared out.
We were like, we should start running too, I guess, because everyone else is running. Oh, it's funny. Yeah. You know, we've gone to World Equestrian Games. We've gone to World Cups. You know, we've done some things that I would never, you know, I maybe would have gone as a spectator, but I didn't necessarily, like when I signed up for I honestly didn't really know what I was signed up for. But I love that we've been able to create.
I didn't know what you signed up for either. So there was that.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and I think Phil can say this, I mean, we're self-employed, right? Like, but we're not, we've actually worked for the Horse Radio Network. I work for your company, Glenn, longer than I've worked for anyone else ever. Just saying.
This is the longest job I've had, actually.
Yeah. Could you give me a good rec if I ever need it?
Yeah. I'll do that. I think I can do that. So, Phil, what surprised you the most?
I think just the evolution of podcasting and now how like universal and popular it is. I mean, when we first started doing this and, you know, trying to get guests and whatever, and you said like, oh, we've got this podcast going, I know, like, and people are like, it goes on your iPod or like, what, you know, people didn't like, and dressage radio show, you know, what time can I listen? And what station is it on?
Yeah.
What station is it on? It's just like, how long, you know, and for sure there was a lot of years, you know, we were trying to explain that for years. And then it took off and the pandemic accelerated it even further. And now when you say, can you come on our podcast? People know exactly what you're talking about. They probably listen to 3 or 4 podcasts, you know, or they know the player, they know how it is now. And that's just, it's made it so much easier. But just being maybe a bit of an insider on that evolution of how it's going.
We joke about it, but we are pioneers in podcasting. We started, I started in 2006.
Yeah.
You guys are still 10 years in. There's very few podcasters that have podcasts for 10 years. We kind of built, we didn't know what we were doing. Even when you guys came on board, we still didn't know what we were doing.
the rural internet was just so
bad.
Terrible. And
do you remember when I had bad internet?
Yes.
Like I finally got good internet when my husband's company got funded. Now we have better internet, but I had bad internet for a long time.
You know, just the like Skype, you couldn't record on Skype. So you had to have a third, you had to have third party software recording. Like that was so difficult.
It is. It was. Everything was difficult. I mean, everything we did back then was difficult to do. Hosting wasn't like it is now. So we had to host ourselves, and there was problems with that. From the back end, we had a lot of things that we had to kind of figure out, and there was no roadmap. We were making the roadmap in podcasting. We were one of the original ones that were out there figuring out how to do all this stuff because nobody knew how to do it, and there were no rules. You know, there are no rules. You know. When I first got our first sponsor, it's like, how much do I charge them? I have no idea because there was no formula.
There was no precedent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, Glenn, do you remember the rules that we set up? So Phil and I both have had rules about what we would do on the podcast. So my rule was I don't do anything technical.
That's
like,
nice.
I don't even know how to.
And that's still true.
Like, it's still true. Like I won't do it. Like if I can't. All I do is log on to Skype, everybody. That is it. I log on to Skype, and that is it. Now, Phil will do some technical stuff, but Phil, what's your rule? What you won't do?
I won't do live.
You won't do live.
No, he won't. He hates coming on. When we did live on Horses in the Morning, getting him on that show was a nightmare.
To drag him on. And you're so good. Like, you'd be doing it live.
I don't know why, but
you won't do it.
It's like... Now I could probably do it. I would do it, but it kicks up my anxiety to the next level. And it's just mental.
That's true. I think it's because I told you when I was, I did it. Glenn asked me when he's like, I get a text like, can you please come on in 30 minutes? My co-host is sick or something. I don't remember what the story was. And I was like, sure, no problem. Because I'm like, I'll just sit there and like just hang out. Well, the next thing I know, we're live and Glenn gets gone. And I'm like, oh, I remember I almost flipped out of my chair. So I was like, oh, I've got to do something now. Like, oh, shoot.
The other thing is that, like, I am known to swear. And so I would hate for any of those.
Don't really.
Any of those bad words to slip out.
They've slipped out a few times, but they get edited for all of
us. Yeah, I've heard them a few times off air doing the Dressage Show over the years. Well, congratulations again, guys. You've done something that very, 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 very few people have, and on a topic that nobody would have guessed could have lasted 13 years total.
Well, Glenn,
now.
Thanks for believing in us and making this happen. This has been quite a journey. We're not done, everybody. We're
yeah, they're leaving now. 10 years was enough. They're quitting today.
We're tired. We're all tipped out. We said everything there is to say.
We are probably all of those things, but we're still around. Don't worry.
You know, if you ever get tired of doing tips, we can just go back to the first and start replaying them. Nobody will remember it was 10 years ago.
There you go.
Except our tips were really shaky.
Ruth will.
We have some supporters that... that we know will call us out if we try to duplicate any of those.
Yeah, they'll know.
Yeah.
But I do have to, one last thing, and that is we definitely drink far less than we used to. There was a period of time where we were drinking a lot during the show.
That's funny.
Especially in the beginning when Phil was nervous. I was like, just drink, maybe get another one.
Coping mechanisms, you know, when you don't go to school for broadcasting and get the tips, then you learn as you go, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have both done a tremendous job. Thank you so much from me and from Jennifer for doing it for all these years and for the listeners too. We appreciate you and we hope that you do it for another 10.
Cheers to you guys. Thanks so much.
And auditors, hang on. We're going to do a bit of a post show for you today.